Some kinds of work have a specific time when they should be done. Otherwise, the results would get spoiled. And some other kinds of work are timeless. They can be done any point of time. Have you thought about in your life which is which? And one thing that tops the things, number of things when it comes to being timeless in nature is poetry. This is from 500 years ago and along the same thought that I asked you. Bigdi baat bane nahi, laakh karo kin koi, rahiman faate doodh ko, mathe na maakhan hoye. The gist is, a million efforts cannot mend spoiled things or spoiled work from the past. Just like how no matter how much you try to churn spoiled milk, it will not get you ghee. So beautiful, right? You know, when you relate these kind of lines to your line is when you really realize that how important mistakes are in life. Because how could we ever learn anything without making mistakes? And if you just thought, hey, wait, there are books and there are guides. All the books, all the guides, all the knowledge in the world comes from somebody in the past who made a mistake and figured it out. And today's social soda is all about that, making mistakes. Wait for the social soda segment. Let's kickstart 5 a.m. Hive on 16th January 2020. Good morning, you're listening to the only good news morning show that plays out to your heart first and then to your ears, the 5 a.m. Hive. Hyderabad startup creates an AI-based app that can detect a disease if you just cough into your phone. I'm not even kidding. This startup is a brainchild of the trio Venkat Yachuri, Narayan Rao, Sripada, and Manmohan Jain. It was launched in 2017 and the trio started their company Salcit Technologies. With the intention to improve TB detection in rural areas, Salcit Technologies has launched Swasa, an AI software that analyzes human cough to help detect lung diseases. Claiming an accuracy of 90% with the help of additional data such as patient's medical history, temperature and vitals, the software helps in early detection of lung infections and diseases. Just imagine how many lives this could save. The platform has conducted over 3 lakh assessments so far with partners such as Apollo, Primal Swasthya, Andhra Medical College, Vishakhapatnam and AIIMS. It has also received funding from USAID. You know what I was thinking? Ki aajkal har kahin aapko AI sunne ko mil raha hai. You know, with Chat GPT doing your homework and projects to now this, I fear ek din aayega when even Amrish Puri would go, "Arey Kiran, kaha ja rahi ho? Train mein to AI hai. Kaha bhagogi?" Let's move on to the second good news story of the day. AI-enabled trains make their way to India. The Northeast Frontier Railway, or the NFR, has found a technological solution to incidents of wild elephant deaths hit by trains, of course, by utilizing an AI-based software that is backed by optical fiber cable, OFC. Now, let me tell you that this is not a plan for the future. This has already been implemented. Yeah, we are in the future. Since August last year, when the NFR started monitoring the movement of elephants with the help of this detection mechanism in 11 different elephant corridors, along a distance of 70 kilometers, there has not been a single incident of death of an elephant hit by a train. Wow, that's incredible, right? The NFR's chief public relations officer, Sabyasachi, spoke, "When there is an elephant movement on or alongside a railway track, it creates a vibration, causing vibrations in the optical signals being carried in these OFCs. The disturbance in the signal is the signature. Our AI-based software detects the changes in the optical signals, to sense the presence of elephants. You know what? I actually changed my opinion about AI. AI is a very beautiful thing for the world. Unless, of course, they take over the world and then Arnold Schwarzenegger comes back as a Terminator. So, unless then. Let's move on to the third good news story of the day.
Hello, I am an AI version of Bharat Nair. Good news story number 3. An all-women market is being set up in Lucknow to promote women traders. The exclusive market is...
There are some things that are just better if humans do it. An all-women market is being set up in Lucknow to promote women traders. The exclusive market is coming up in the city's Charbagh neighborhood. Mayor Sanyukta Bhatia, who is also the first woman mayor of Lucknow, said that I want women to be empowered in true sense. They will only be empowered once they are financially secure and able to support themselves. Previously, operating shops in the market was exclusively a male domain, with women limited to the role of sales girls. But this market is only for women traders, businesswomen, and entrepreneurs. And you know what? This is a big boost to all the women entrepreneurs out there. You know, as per our research, as per the reports by Business Standard, this market would be a three-storied structure which can house up to 125 shops of 12 square meters. And a similar program was also started in Jammu and Kashmir Municipal Corporation, where a retail center was built specifically to provide jobs for women. For this one, there goes a shout out, definitely. Good job, Sanyukta Bhatia. If tuning into all the good news that you heard just now has made you aware that, oh my God, Bharat is right, there's so much phenomenal amount of good that is happening in the world, then just wait. Because today is a special day. Today, we would not have any music segments, Chasing Unity, or the other usual segments we have at the end of the show. Because today, we have an interview with Gagan Khosla, a 66-year-old man who took a journey of 6,000 kilometers across the length and breadth of India over 37 days to raise awareness about education for underprivileged children in India. This is a gem of an interview. This is one of the best interviews I have had personally. Please listen to it and let there be joy in your heart and thrill in the mind. Let's go on to the 5 a.m. humans interviews. All right. So, Mr. Khosla, it's such a privilege to have this conversation with you. 37 days and 6,000 kilometers is not something that I think I can definitely not imagine do that. You are a person who's proved that age is just a number. You're 66 years old. You've traveled 6,000 kilometers in 37 days across India. And for all the people who are 66 or 60 above and listening to this and they're wondering, kare nahi yaar, you know, budha ek ho jata hai. I mean, you're just an inspiration. So, पहली बात तो ये क्या क्या खाते हो? What do you eat?
I eat very simple, very very simple खाना. And I am gluten free. I don't take wheat. I don't take barley. I don't take soya. I don't take corn. I don't take oats. So basically, my diet is rice and millets, and vegetables, and you know, some non-veg here and there. That's it.
Right. So what do you do? Like, what is your profession?
I'm basically a qualified, a CA, chartered accountant.
Oh.
So, but then I have been an entrepreneur all my life. So, for the last 3-4 years, I've been helping my kids, investing in their business advisory, and I'm doing things which I like to do, adventures.
So, the reason I asked you that question was that you're someone who's from a lifestyle, right? A CA or an entrepreneur would mean that you definitely have 8 to 9 hours in front of the laptop, a computer, or that kind of a lifestyle that most of us relate to, you know? So that doesn't give you an excuse. Jo abhi sun rahe honge, kisi ke man mein aaya hoga, nahi yaar, maybe that person always has a different lifestyle. No, no, no. So you also have a lifestyle where you sit 8-9 hours in front of a computer. So then how do you remain so fit, you know, that you achieve these incredible things?
You know, I train every day, actually. I always find time to train every day. So either I bike or you know, I run, or I go to the gym, or I train with my trainer. So actually, I've been running, I would say, since the last 55 years, since I was 10, 11 years, since my school days. So I haven't left running So I run, I cycle, as I said, I go to the gym, but I train nearly every day, or I would say at least 5 times a week.
Wow. So, you know, a question that would have arisen in anyone's mind who's listening to this right now is, how do you find the time? Because generally after 6:30, you reach home at 7 and yeah.
You have to find the time, and you will always have the time. You can always reduce your workload, and you will always find the time. If you have the inclination, if you have the desire, you'll find the time. So you will always, and also you have to find time for yourself, because, you know, I realize when you are growing up, you are under your parents, especially in the Indian context. You are, so they are guiding you, do this, do that. And then you get married. So then you have a responsibility towards your wife and the children. And very quickly you realize that you are 50 years, 55 years. So actually, you haven't spent time with your own self. You haven't, either you also have your own desires. You need to live your own life as well. So at the age of 50, 55, I decided to find much more time for myself, and especially for my adventure. Because, see, adventure is not only it's not only a sporting activity. It is much more, because you leave the comfort of your house. There is an element of risk. So you spend so much time with yourself, with your mind, you realize, your own self. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the whole life just goes away in your eating, in your work, and in your social network.
Right.
What most people are doing today is morning breakfast, lunch, dinner. Then they are working hard. I'm not saying this, that they also work very hard. And then whatever time is left is which is spent, in social networking.
So, 6,000 kilometers of cycling, and that also to raise awareness about education in India. What inspired you? What's your story?
Okay, thank you for these kind words and compliments. You know, what you say and what you said earlier, that for you to think it is not possible, why you're saying it is because you are just restricting your mind. If you open your mind, your mind can achieve a lot many things which you don't even realize. So that is at the outset. Okay. Then number two, we just need to be physically fit to undertake, an adventure like this. So I always say, and I have said also during the ride, that physical capacity is not defined by physical strength. In fact, physical capacity actually is defined by the strength of your mental resolve. So there are two elements. So there are two elements to this. Is that you should not restrict your mind and say this is not possible. If you say it is possible, you can do it. And number two, don't get restricted by your physical capacity, because as I said earlier, physical capacity is not defined by your physical strength, but defined by the strength of your mental resolve. So that is at the outset. Okay.
I actually have a question here. When we say that this is my current capacity, when we say that I can take these many kilos of weight, or when we say that these many push-ups, is that not a physical limitation, but you're saying it's a mental limitation? How is that?
No. Every person also has a physical limitation as well. Because as you said, I can lift, let us say, about 8 kgs or 10 kgs or 12 kgs maximum. Beyond that, I need to train and I need to eat more. I need to, build on muscle. So that will take time. But for any physical activity, you need to be physically fit. And otherwise, you can't do it. And especially cycling across the country, 6,000 kilometers. So I have been in a reasonably good shape. Because in 2016, I also rode from Leh to Kanyakumari, a distance of about 4,000 kilometers in 29 days. So six years down the line, I took this adventure. And with the grace of God, it fell into place. So coming back to your question, is that you always have to raise your physical, your physical strength as well, your physical fitness as well. And that happens slowly and steadily. Once, after having achieved your physical strength, then it is a matter of, and especially in endurance events. This is an endurance event. So in endurance, you need your mental strength as well, your mental resolve.
Right. You know, I have read this somewhere also that when you go for a jog and or go cycling and you feel tired, always ask yourself if your mind is tired or your body is. Sometimes it's the mind, sometimes it's not the body.
You know? Yeah, that is always the case because, you know, endurance activities also get boring, you know, at times. So your mind says, why am I doing it? You know, for what am I doing it? So all those thoughts start coming in. So I don't allow these thoughts to cross my mind. Even if it crosses my mind, I just, shunt them away. Because these are all negative thoughts. If you have decided that you want to do an activity like this, you are going to cycle 6,000. So you don't allow any kind of negative thoughts to cross your mind.
Wow. How do you do that?
You know, you just have to be aware of your mind. And you realize that this is a negative thought and it is bugging me by saying, why are you doing it? And what for are you doing it? You know, so these are your own personal desires, your own personal journeys. You may call it spiritual journeys. These are all, you know, your own personal journeys. So these are your desires. So, you know, I can't be telling somebody else, you know, you go and do a ride of 6,000 because you say, are you mad? So, you know, it has to be your own personal journey.
So, Mr. Khosla, two questions. First is, how did education come into the picture? What inspired you to take up this journey to spread awareness about education in India per se? And especially education for lesser privileged children. So, that's the main thing. And also, second thing is, how do you prepare for something like that? If you're going 6,000 kilometers across the country on a cycle, how do you prepare for something like that? If you could just give a few tidbits about how do you do it?
You know, so okay, there are two parts to your question. Why education for underprivileged? And number two is how do you prepare? So number one, you know, it all started with, you know, with pandemic. In March 2020, when the COVID hit India, so I'm based in Delhi, and that was the month of March, then came, so there was a lockdown for a few days, and then got extended. And then actually, if you remember the, on TV, we saw mass exodus of people, especially from the major cities like Mumbai and Delhi, of laborers, industrial workers, contract workers. You know, they had to leave the cities. And on TV, if you remember those days, there was a huge exodus of people. And it was the month of May. And especially the month of May in Delhi is very harsh. You know, high temperatures, complete lockdown in the city. And these people were all factories closed down, construction sites closed down. They were asked to leave their homes in Delhi by the owner, by their landlords. But they were all on the street walking. And then I saw, mothers and fathers carrying young children in their shoulders, in their arms. And quite a lot of these guys walked from Delhi to places like Bihar and UP. Yes. So that was quite a disturbing sight for me, and it remained in my heart. So I did whatever I could, you know, at that time. But you know, any amount of money which I could give, a small amount of money, it was just like a drop in the ocean. So I told myself, listen, I'm going to do an activity, a physical activity, where I'm going to raise funds or create awareness for these underprivileged kids. Because you know, as the time went by, I started to read and I started to get more aware. That India's total population, out of the India's total population, 40% are children. And this is a huge number.
Okay.
And out of this 40%, 70% of this population live, in the rural areas.
Oh.
So, and out of this, 40 and 70, there are lakhs and lakhs of children who have got affected by COVID and they have lost access to education.
Right.
Now, there are three reasons to it. Number one is the schools closed and they it's never reopened. Number two, they lost their parents, one or both their parents, So they did not have money to go back to school. And number three, you know, young kids in rural part of India, not going to school for 2 years, 2.5 years. So they had no inclination to, you know, go back to school. So then I said, you know, this is a good cause, and somebody has to create awareness. So I was in touch with an NGO called Save the Children. Mm-hmm. Save the Children is one of the largest NGOs across the world,
They
work in about 120 countries. So they also have a large presence in India as well. So then I got talking to them. I said, listen, I want to do a physical activity. And most likely what I can do, because I've already written from, you know, late to Kanyakumari, which was 6 years down the line. So I can now ride, I can increase the distance, and now I can, you know, I can make an attempt to ride on the Golden India Quadrilateral, 6,000 kilometers, and to create awareness and raise funds for this cause.
Wow.
So then it got going. What actually I did, so I told the Save the Children, listen, I said, I'm not going to speak to corporates. I will speak to corporates, but I will not ask them to give you the money, like, you know, upfront money. So what I want you to do, I will get corporates for you who have large CSR funding, but you guys must go to their rural areas where they have industries and work in that area for the welfare of, you know, in fact, kids and children. And it has to be a long-term project. You know, it cannot be a short-term thing. So you have to go and set up an infrastructure there, and the corporate has to visibly see what is happening. Their objectives, their CSR objectives must match, your inputs there. So it has to be a long-term project. We have now a few companies who are in discussion with CSR, with Save the Children. So for starting from 2023, so there are projects which will come. So this is what I did, and this is what I'm doing now, creating awareness and raising funds.
Mr. Khosla, how did you, what did you feel during the cycling, like during the journey? What were your feelings? What did you?
You know, when you start, you are very anxious and fearful. Fearful because, you know, it's a long journey. And if you look at the total mileage at 6,000, it actually is a humongous effort. So you have to look every day. So every day you say, okay, today Delhi Agra 180 kilometers. So you split 180 into three. So you say, okay, in the morning before breakfast I'm going to do 70. Then I'm going to have breakfast. You know, you split the distances on a daily basis into smaller numbers. And so initially being, anxious, anxiety, fearful, to be honest with you, before I started, I left Delhi on 22nd November. Before I started, for nearly about a month, I could not sleep at night. I would, be up in the night, and I would tell my wife, why have I done this? Why have I committed to ride 6,000? You know, but then she would say, listen, now having committed, you can't go back. This is always what you say. I said, I know this is what I say. But after about a week, after I reached Kolkata, so my route was Delhi, Kolkata, Chennai, Bangalore, Mumbai, Ahmedabad, Udaipur, Jaipur, Delhi.
Wow.
So once I reached my stage one or leg one at Kolkata, I started to feel happy. I was confident. I was enjoying my ride on an everyday basis. And even on the bike, I was confident. So then after Kolkata, I really enjoyed myself. My mind was happy. See, you can't ride and you cannot do this thing in case, you know, if you have a fearful mind, if you're not enjoying it. So you have to be happy. You have to be confident. You have to, you know, think positive in your mind. And it is possible. The mind will do it, and a physical body will perform.
You know, for something of this measure, I am someone who believes in karma a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come across this ancient concept called karma siddhi. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So karma siddhi is where you practice committing to something and then achieving it. Like one day, you start with taking a small load, ki chalo main itna karunga, but jo bhi maine commit kiya hai, wo main achieve karunga. then second, correct. Then third, then fourth, over a period of time, as you keep increasing this habit, कि आप जो भी commit करते हो आप achieve करते हो, they say, मैंने सुना है ये, कि कर्म सिद्धि आती है, कि whatever you commit, हो जाता है, it starts happening. Do you think the sense of commitment on a journey like this has something to do with the, as you were saying rightly, that you know, the sense of commitment kept you going?
You know, that is 100% right what you're saying. And, you know, I just add one thing to this. That is if you do an activity is, you know, which is a good activity and divine activity, the chances are it will be fulfilled. Hmm. But if you undertake an evil activity, the chances are it will go down the drain.
Right.
So it has to be a good activity. It has to be a divine activity. And you're, you know, you just need to be physically fit, and mind will do it. Mind is so strong. The mental resolve of a human being is so strong. You know, it is only the human species who can do the impossible. Right. No other species can do the impossible.
Right.
So we it is because the human mind, we thought we could go to the space, and we are now in the space. You know, we went to the space. Because it was the mind who thought we can do it.
Right.
If we didn't think is that we could go to the space, we wouldn't do it. So we have to believe in our mind and we have to expand our mind. And if you expand the mind, everything is possible. I'm not saying everything is possible. A lot many things are possible.
Right.
And so, I actually had two hashtags in my ride. The one hashtag which was, you know, it's a pedal for children. The other hashtag was shut up pain. So I had put a sticker on the handlebar on my bike handlebar, which said shut up pain. Now, in a physical activity, you would always think that shut up pain would imply to a physical pain. But if you just extend the shut up pain logic, it actually goes beyond. Much beyond physical, it goes to emotional, it goes to mental.
Right.
And if you just go even beyond that, you will realize that every human being or every household across the globe has some kind of a pain, some kind of a misery going on. So the idea is that you have to move on. So you have to say to the pain, shut up pain, I just need to resolve this and move forward.
Move on.
Because, you have to move on.
Misery to hota hai sabke life mein. Let's move on.
सब की लाइफ में होता है, सो यू कांट जस्ट गेट स्टक ऑन देयर एंड यू नो ऑल दिस
क्रेज,
सो यू हैव टू फाइट द पेन.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, one thing that came to my mind when you were telling me about the journey was how different this kind of a journey would have been from the usual travels that people take. Because when you go on a motor vehicle, you travel through spaces very fast. But when you're on a cycle, you travel through spaces very slow. So, two questions. Number one, what was the unique things you came across? Because I'm sure you went through so many villages, routes, unknown places, 6,000 kilometers. What were the unique experiences that you came across? And were there some dangers? Like, did you have some areas where, you know, things got a little shaky?
You know, on the positive side, you know, because you're going so slow and you're on the road and you are, and people are, you know, passing you all over on the motorbikes, the cycles, the cars. You know, I'll tell you across, right from Delhi, and back to Delhi, the people were all so positive. So when they would realize what I was doing at this age, they would stop me, they would invite me to their houses, please come and stay with us, please come to our dhawa, please come to our restaurant, you know. So I didn't have the time because, you know, I needed to bike about 170, 180 a day. So that would take me nearly about 7 to 8 hours a day to bike. But wherever it was possible, I would stop, I would go to nearby schools, talk to the kids, give them a lecture, inspirational talk to them. Then there was a medical college just near Bangalore in a place called Tumkur.
Right.
And there's a huge medical college. So one of the medical doctors, we were parked on the main highway, we were having breakfast, so he stopped by, he started talking to us. Then once he realized, so he said, no, you must come down to, you know, our medical hospital, which also is a college, there are students there. And I said, where is it? He said, it's about 30 kilometers away from the highway, national highway. I said, listen, you know, I'm in on a bike. So for me to go 30 in and 30 out is additional 60 kilometers of ride. But he insisted. I said, okay, I'll come. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we went there. What a beautiful, I just forget the name of the hospital. I can give it to you for WhatsApp tomorrow. Wow. And what a hospital that was. That was in a place called Tumkur, actually.
Yes, Tumkur in Bangalore, yes. Yes.
Yeah, yes. So I went there. What a beautiful hospital. What a beautiful facility. And
how did you deal with punctures?
You know, thankfully, I actually had very good tires. And I had a puncture only the last day when I left Jaipur.
Please tell me which brand you use on this show. I think everyone in this country is going to buy it. Which is the cycle that you took to the terrain?
I had two bikes. I rode the road bike and I had a standby, a mountain bike as well.
Okay.
For patchy roads, which I didn't use. So I only use the road bike.
Okay. All right.
And the worst experience is, you know, because I was riding only on the national highway. So there's a patch in Gujarat between a place called Vapi and Baroda, which is about, I think, 250 or 300 kilometer stretch, where there are lots and lots of industries and there are ports as well. So these huge lorries, long lorries, they go past you. Although it's a three-lane highway with a hard shoulder, but at times when these, you know, and you are riding on the hard shoulder, so when these long lorries, you know, go past you, they start pushing you away from them. Mm-hmm. But at the tail, they draw you in. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So on one of the occasions, the hard shoulder narrowed down, and I was on the line of the hard shoulder. Then this huge lorry came across. And they all drive at 80 kilometers, 70, 80 kilometers. So this guy went by. So initially I was just being swept away. And then at the tail, I got drawn in. Because I was on the line, I was so close to his wheels that I thought I was inside the wheels. But then there is always the God grace and the divine grace. I just got saved. Otherwise, I would have been,
I want to ask you that. I think one question got left off, which was that you traveled 200 kilometers a day, and that's how you covered 6,000 kilometers. And being a bit of a biker myself, like someone who bikes motorcycles a lot, like I love riding, covering 250 to 300 kilometers on a bike itself for a couple of days on a stretch could tire you out. So if you're covering 200 kilometers a day on cycle, what kind of a preparation do you need for that? And how do you sustain that during the journey?
You know, you can't just get up one day and say, I'm going to cycle like this. Okay. So you need to be, you need to be physically trained. So as I said, that I train nearly every day. So I train some, you know, I do weight training, I do endurance training, I do core training, I strengthen my legs, I cycle, do the endurance for my you know, in the cardiovascular system. I run, so I do all this. So I train all my body. And having done in 2016, Leh to Kanyakumari, so I had that confidence that this is possible. I just, you know, need to be focused, and I can do it.
Wow, you're such an inspiration. You are such an inspiration, Mr. Khosla. Mr. Gagan Khosla, you're such an inspiration. This is one of the best podcasts, one of the best podcast interviews I've done till date. I am
Thank you so much.
Proud of you. And I want to end this conversation. I want to end this podcast with last question, which is, this is something that personally has, I have come across, and I think it's going to be beautiful if you say it out. So I want to say it out loud, something that I've noticed. Especially in Indian societies, I don't know why it happens, but after 55, after 60, especially after 60, males or females, I've generally seen there's a downward trend in terms of mood, in terms of, you know, ambition. There's this thing that, you know, there is a thing where they're like, nahi, abhi ghar pe hi rehte hai, bahar nahi jana, and there's less communication. And I've personally come across a lot of 60-year-olds who've you know, start feeling lonely after that age, etc. And when I look at someone like you, you're such an inspiration. You still have that zeal and zest going on that I want to do this in my life. These are my tasks. I mean, these are my bucket list. I want to kick it off the bucket. What is a message you want to give out to all the 60-somethings who are listening to you right now?
Let me explain this to you with an example, okay? There was a survey done of people who were in their end stages of life.
Right.
And the survey, the question to them was, what has been your biggest regret? And 100% answered, their regret was not what they did. Their regret was what they had desired and what they did not do in their lives. So I follow this principle. If you have a desire, do it.
Right.
And so don't keep it pending, because if you keep it pending, then at the end of your life, you will say, this is what I desired. And you will, and actually you will never regret of what you did, but you will always regret what you had desired and what you did not do. Number one. Number two, you know, as I said earlier, we spend most of our lives, up to 50 years, 55 years, living, I'm not saying living for others, but living, let us say, when we were young, parents, you know, then parents, then our own responsibility. So when we have time for ourselves after 55 years or 60 years, and we have the money, we have the time, but that at that time, we don't have the health. So you also need to be aware that I need to maintain my health, that when I have the time and the money, I should be able to enjoy my time. So you need to preserve. So all the 55 pluses, 60 pluses, we need to preserve our health.
Right.
So that when we have the time and the money, we can enjoy our life. Right. And this life is come, this life is only once. I don't know whether there is anything beyond this. So just be happy. And please have your health when there is time for you to enjoy.
Right. Wow, beautiful. Thank you so much. It was such a blissful and such a beautiful conversation. I'm looking forward to more conversations with you. I would definitely be getting back in touch with you. Let's have one more podcast. It's such a beautiful conversation.
Yeah.
I would love to talk about the experiences you've had while you were on the journey. Yeah. But for that, you need one whole podcast. So I will definitely be getting back to you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Have a good day.